This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Judges, chapter 19, verse 29, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 19, verse 29. Just before we begin, I want to take a moment to honor a beautiful soul who just moved to heaven, Ruth Williams of Coco, Florida. In my first studio, I've had quite a few in Coco. A grown-up woman, a beautiful grown-up woman with grown-up children, came to my studio and said, I've always wanted to play the piano. And it was beautiful Ruth Williams. And oh, she learned so well. She was with me in many programs. We cried together, we laughed together, and we prayed together. And I remember her saying, I want to see Jesus. So now we know that she has seen Jesus. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I thank you for the beautiful life on earth of your beautiful daughter, Ruth Williams. And I thank you for the privilege and honor of calling her friend. And now I thank you for the beautiful eternal life of your daughter, Ruth Williams, in heaven with you. Lay no charge against her. Receive it to yourself. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will say, well done, Ruth, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in small matters. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Father, we thank you for Ruth. Bless her and hold her forever. And I remember she loved pretty colors, so maybe Peter would show her all the beautiful colors of heaven. Thank you, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And now, Judges chapter 19, verse 29. We left off last time with the Levite priest man and his concubine, which means a secondary wife, traveling, and it got dark. So they turn in to Geba, which is a place the tribe of Benjamin, which should have been safe. But however, the house was surrounded by sons of Belial, and the men said, bring us out the priest, we want to sodomize him. And so the priest would not go out. He sent his concubine instead, and she's a secondary wife. And so they abused her all night long and then left her dead on the doorstep at daylight. The priest man came out and saw her dead, and picked up her dead body, put it on his donkey, and went on back home and took her back home to the tribe of Ephraim. And now verse 29. But before I go to 29, let me explain something. I did this last week. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things happen to these people in the Bible for examples for those of us who are at the end time. Remember I told you last week, Hosea 9, 6 through 9 says, as in the days of Gibeah, so shall it be in the end. And they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, but not in the right way. And so what we have here, the secondary wife represents the man and woman of the body of Christ here at the end time who really, they really do love Jesus. They're part of the body of Christ. But remember Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 25, there are 10 virgins, meaning the whole of the body of Christ. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Half of them are foolish. They have no truth. So the concubine, the secondary wife, represents those Christians right now who are deceived, who do not know the priest they go to has not told them that the Antichrist comes first, and they are going to be pushed into the arms of the Antichrist, represented by the sons of Belial, who will seduce them spiritually, as this woman was seduced and really abused physically. And so then, when the part of the body of Christ worships the Antichrist, thinking he's Jesus, that's the secondary wife, then that is the death of the soul. And Jesus says, fear not those who can kill your body, but rather fear him who can kill your soul in hell. So now we begin Judges 19, verse 29. 29, and when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold upon his concubine, and divided her together with her bones unto 12 pieces.
All right. She's dead. She's not hurting, but he's hurting. Paul, in his writings, Apostle Paul, says to the body of Christ, have no schisms in the church. Schisms in the Greek means have no divisions, have no denominations. See, when we're divided, we're not strong. We have wonderful Christian churches, but this one believes that, this one believes that, believe that. It is a command in God's word not to have any denominations. There's just one Lord, Yeshua Jesus, you know. There's just one blood that'll wash away your sins. It's Jesus' blood, you know. There's just one Holy Spirit that'll guide you all the truth. That's the Holy Ruach, you know. And there's just one Bible, despite the fact that they've got 500,000 versions. Okay. So what he's doing here, he is a Levite priest. While there's no judge set there, godly judge appointed, he does know enough of God's word to know that this is wrong, that this awful thing would not have happened right there in Benjamin, Gibeah, had they all been together. He realized the nation had gone astray from God. So what's he going to do with those 12 pieces?
And sent her into all the coast of Israel. Verse 30, and it was so that all that saw it said, there is no such thing done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt.
So he sends a part of her body with a note to the heads of all of the 12 tribes. Remember, the 12 tribes were God's chosen people. Abraham's seed, the Messiah, was to come through that. And so now we can relate and say we have the body of Christ and we all need to come together. And so they were touched by this. They said, we've never seen anything. Now watch how the tribes are going to come together at this atrocity, and they should, because a woman has been raped in the natural and killed by in the own land of God's people. But where was their incense and where was their passion when God was pushed out of the 12 tribes and people were making graven images and carrying teraphims in their pockets and worshiping molten calves? See, the body of Christ today, you'll get outraged at something like that, and you should, but where is the outrage? Where is the coming together of the body of Christ in the United States of America? Because the Word of God has been taken out of the pulpit. I know you call it the Word, but a book about the book is not the Word. One verse and 3 points is not the Word. It's Genesis to Revelation. Every book, chapter, verse, and line from the original manuscripts with a man or woman being anointed to teach it. That's the requirement. Where is that incense? So this is a terrible thing. I want to say something else. Okay, let me finish this.
Unto this day, consider it, take advice, and speak your minds.
So he says, so what are we going to do about this horrible thing? See, the Levite priest knew God's word, that this sin should not go unpunished. He also knew this, that there is called a national sin. See, in the United States of America, we have individual sins. Some of you sin. Most of you sin. We all sin. Okay. And so each one of us is responsible. And if we're Christian, God paddles us for the sin. And kiss the paddle, as Pastor Murray says. But there is a national sin. To the priest, this was a national sin because it happened in one of the tribes which was supposed to be holy. The national sin of the United States of America is abortion. So see, we can never be blessed as a nation until we confess we've done abortion and we repent from abortion, and repent means to stop it. We have a national sin in America, the sodomy, just like they had it there. And we can never be fully blessed until sodomy is confessed, repented, and stopped. So you see, we're kind of half and half. So that's what he was trying to do, to clear the nation of this sin. Because it was more than the concubine. It was a sin against God, right in God's people.
Chapter 20, verse 1. Then all of the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man.
One heart, united we stand. Now they're coming together because of this. But why did they not come together much earlier? Because the people of God had gone away from God. Wouldn't it be something if the body of Christ got passionate about the body of Christ not being whole, about the body of Christ watching pornography, about the body of Christ being one foot in the world and self-centered and not obeying? Wouldn't that be something if we got passionate about our own people so that they could come back to God?
From Dan unto Beersheba is the land of Gilead, those on the east side of Jordan.
In other words, everybody was coming one accord, but this is good.
Unto and before the Lord in Mizpah. Verse 2. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God.
So each one of the 12 tribes has a leader, like we have a governor, and they were called princes. So they all gathered together in an assembly.
400,000 footmen that drew the sword.
And what you think? They got a military of Israel. These are the tribes, not Benjamin. He's not included there. Really, the 11 tribes. And they got 400,000 military. Wow.
Verse 3. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were going up to meet there.
So Benjamin was left out. Uh-oh.
Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how dost thou this wickedness?
So the princes and the 400,000 soldiers in Israel said to the Levite, what in the world happened here? How did this ever happen to your concubine?
And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came unto Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine. Verse 5. And the men of Gibeah rose against me, and beset the house round about me by night, and thought to have slain me.
Now, actually, it did not say they had come there to kill him. They said, send him out. Remember the sons of Belial? They represent the Antichrist's fallen angels. They said, come out, we want to sodomize you. But if they had sodomized him all night long, it probably would have killed him. And I couldn't help but think about Benghazi and our beautiful ambassador, Chris Stevens. They sodomized him for hours with a machete. And yes, he died. Benghazi.
And my concubine, they forced that she is dead.
So he says they raped and murdered my concubine.
Verse 6, and I took my concubine and cut her in pieces, and set her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel.
He's explaining to them what he did.
Where they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel.
In other words, I wanted the 12 tribes to see how far away we've come from God. Sometimes, you know, body of Christ, you just need to stop and see. Have you kind of backslidden off there? Are you as pure as you were? You used to love God so much. Are your thoughts full of hate? Are you kind of stabbing behind the back? Sometimes we need to kind of see, are we closer to God or getting further away? You're supposed to get closer.
7. Behold, you are all children of Israel. Give ear your advice and counsel. And all the people arose as one man.
One heart.
Saying, where will not any of us go to his tent? Neither will any of us turn into his house.
So the soldiers and all of the Israelite, the tribe says, we're not going to go home and be comfortable. We are going to solve this thing for you, Mr. Levite. Oh, united, united we stand. Jesus prayed in John 17 that they all may be one.
Verse 9, but now this shall be the thing which we shall do to Gibeah. We will go out by lot against it.
Okay, we're going to choose lots, and we're going to go and fight Gibeah. They said that that would be the tribe of Benjamin, those people that killed the woman.
10. I will take 10 men of 100 out of all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victory for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought.
Okay, so what they're going to do, victuals is what that should be. They are selecting a tenth out of each one. They're tithing men. Out of those 400,000, they're going to take so many, about 10,000 really, and they're going to let them be the cooking crew. Because military, anytime you're going to go to war, the first thing you got to do is make sure your soldiers have food and water, right? So that's what they do. Now, they could use them, maybe, but they think they've got plenty of men, okay? So they've got a cooking crew for the army. That's the first thing they do.
Israel. Verse 11. So all the men of Israel gather against the city, knit together as one man.
One accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Fitly joined together, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another daily. That's what we're supposed to be, body of Christ.
12. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you?
Now, I have to say the tribes of Israel were gentlemen. They're going to give Benjamin a chance to explain things. Benjamin, why is this going on in your tribe? Remember, Gibeon was in Benjamin's one of the tribes. Now, you know, Benjamin could not be rebellious. He could not resent their leadership. He could just say, wow, I need to turn these sons of Belial over to you. Or is he going to sit stiff-necked and rebel and refuse to cooperate? Body of Christ.
13. Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death.
Now, so they say, give us those sons of Belial that raped and killed this woman, and we'll put her to death. See, it was God's law, and did you know it's still God's law? Because our Constitution came from the common law of England, which came from the Bible. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, and Jesus says, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Deuteronomy 11, Jesus says, God says, a murderer shall be put to death. And in Deuteronomy 22, it says, a rapist shall be put to death. Then he says, put them to death. Right as soon as they murder, and as soon as they rape that little 12-year-old girl, that little 12-year-old boy, and these things will stop in the land. Now, when it says murder, it does not mean if you murder someone who's trying to break in and hurt your family, or in self-defense, or if you're defending your country, or an accident. But like evil murder or rape, because see, rape kills you. If it doesn't kill your body, your soul has been wounded.
Put away evil from Israel, but the children of Benjamin would not hearken.
Oh, Benjamin's not going to obey the word. Now I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'm just going to sit right here and not move.
The voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. 14. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah, who go out to battle against the children of Israel.
So Benjamin says, we'll just fight you. That's what we'll do. See, it would have been so much easier the other way. Sometimes pride just hurts the one who's so proud. Be a lot better to just say, heck, okay, maybe I should be humble a little bit here. Maybe I should, you know, be humble. Maybe I should obey.
Verse 15, and the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew swords, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men.
Now, so Benjamin gathers some soldiers. They've got 26,700 soldiers. The other tribes of Israel, so we say in Benjamin against Israel, have 400,000. You can tell that God had been withdrawing his blessings on Benjamin, because in 1490 B.C., right after the children of Israel exited from Egypt slavery, in the book of Numbers, there was a count of the tribes, and Benjamin at that time had 45,000 warriors, men of war. It has diminished to 26,700. But when you think one of their biggest sins was sodomy, maybe the men just didn't want to go to war. Maybe they just wanted to do sodomy.
Verse 16, among all those people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a whore breath and not miss.
Now, out of their 26,700, there were 700 men, and God puts it in the Bible, left-handed, and boy, were they sharp shooters. I mean, they knew how to sling that stone just like David and Goliath. Why'd you put left hand in there? Well, I looked it up in the manuscripts. Left hand says, one with many varied talents. So one of their talents was to sling that stone, okay?
17, and the men of Israel beside Benjamin were numbered 400,000 men.
See, I mean, Benjamin's outnumbered, obviously.
That Jew's sword. All these were men of war. 18, and the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God.
Thank goodness, at last they're starting to think of God. Now, it would have been better if they had gone up to Bethel, house of the Lord. And the word God, G-O-D, is very important. It means Elohim, God the Creator. An atheist in a foxhole will say, help God, you see, because he doesn't know God. L-O-R-D would have been a better word for them. It means a close, intimate relationship which we have through the blood of Jesus with our Father. It's the covenant name. It's Yahweh, Y-H-V-H. So see, it's just like you, Christian. You're in trouble, and you don't say, hey, God, help me. You say, Father, in Jesus' name, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, help thou me. See, you got the personal relationship. But at least they started turning to God.
And asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the valley against the children of Benjamin?
Now, they didn't say, God, do you want us to go and battle Benjamin, our brother? God doesn't like civil warfare. He doesn't want brother against brother. However, when the Antichrist comes, Mark 13, brother's going to deliver brother to death. Daughter's going to deliver mother to death. Friend's going to deliver friend to death. That death is the devil. That means brothers and sisters in the church, the secondary wife, thinking that they are with the bridegroom Jesus, are going to turn those of us who were not going to bow the knee to Antichrist, they're going to turn us in. So these people don't say, dear God, shall we go to battle? Instead, they just say, which tribe you want to go up first? See, here's the thing. All of us have a purpose and plan in our life, and we have little projects along the way that we do for God, and we love to do that. But when you start to do something and you call it a holy thing, you don't go ahead and do it and say, God, this is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it for you. Bless it. You say, God, do you want me to do this? What do you want me to do, God? When he tells you what to do, do it, and then he'll bless it anyway. You see? So in other words, lots of times we're spinning our wheels doing something that God didn't tell us to do. It may look good, but see, we're asking him to bless our efforts. No, we get in, do his will. You better believe he's going to bless that will. Just always do his will, and you'll be okay.
And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first.
So, but God did say, okay, send Judah up first, just like in Judges chapter 1. The first tribe to go in to conquer the promised land was Judah. Why Judah? Judah's name means praise. When you start to go to your battles, your hurricanes, your work, your body, your money, your troubles, your relationships, your depression, when you enter the battle, put on praise. And not phony, not rote words. Praise him with your spirits. Praise him with a tambourine, to timbre. Praise him with a harp. Praise him with your heart and your voice.
19, and the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah.
Okay, so 400,000 Israelites are out there. They're so outnumbered, I imagine they might get a little careless. You know, sometimes you can be overconfident, and I bet you they're having some coffee and donuts, and a couple of them are sleeping there. I mean, after all, they've got 400,000. Don't ever take God for granted. Everything about God is special.
The men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves.
Okay. Now, Benjamin's name means ravenous wolf. In other words, I think that the Israelites were a little bit too cocky there because they had so many. And see, sometimes you can just think you don't even need God because you just got so much going for you. Out comes a ravenous wolf and zaps 22,000 down to the ground. Whoa, what happened here? Well, remember, it's a horrible thing that happened to the concubine, and that sin, God says, the murderer shall be put to death, the rapist shall be put to death. But a greater sin was what all of the tribes had done by making graven images and going to another god. So God is going to paddle both of his children at the same time, both camps. He's paddling Israel a little bit. He allowed this defeat.
And set their battle again in array in the place.
So the Israelites say, well, we probably weren't paying attention. So let's do this tomorrow. We'll do it the second day.
First day.
We still got plenty of money. We've only lost 22,000. We've still got plenty of men. So let's try again.
3. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord.
Thank goodness they had again. All right, wait just a minute. They go up to the... Now, when you're in your battle and you look like you're drowning there and you're not going to make it, go where God is and weep. Fall on your face and cry out your misery, cry out your fears, cry out your tears, and cry out your sins. David cried all the time, and he got through that emotional part, and then God was able to deal with him and deliver him. Weep before the Lord. They were afraid. Did you weep before the hurricane? I should hope you fell on your face and wept. Of course you were scared. But then you let God give you that peace.
Until evening. And
all day long until evening.
Of the Lord.
Now this time they're going to say, what do you want us to do, Lord?
Saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin?
Shall we go to battle, Lord?
My brother.
They used the word brother there.
And the Lord said, go up against them.
But God, he said go, but he did not say he would give them the victory. But all day long they wept. Now they're growing. They're learning to ask God what he wants to do. See, sometimes something looks good. Ask God if he wants you to do that.
24. And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men.
Good Lord, Benjamin's killed 40,000 of the Israelites. I think he was just like a ravenous wolf. We're just going to get you. And obviously the Israelites were not prepared for war. See, God is punishing the Israelites, because the greater passion, they should have been gathered together a long time ago, body of Christ. All of us, we should have gathered together a long time ago before I make this call, day after day and year after year, to come together and put the word of God back in God's house.
These drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came to the house of God.
Okay, now they're going to try God again. The Israelites are. They're scared now.
And wept.
Bethel.
And sat there before the Lord.
Now, listen to this. You're going to hear 5 weapons they used, which gave them the victory. You have, Christian, in your arsenal, 5 weapons that will get you the victory every single time. Maybe you do one, but in a battle, you need 5. First of all, they go to Bethel. This is Bethel, Sherry Medlock School, Trumpet of Truth. But it doesn't have to be a building. It means the house of God, the house of the Lord. Go somewhere where the heart of God is. You're all welcome here. Or it might be your room. And then they wept before him because they were frightened and afraid, as all of us are frightened and afraid in this cruel world. And then they sat before him. See, most of you think praying is, okay, God, blah, 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 blah. And you talk and you talk and you talk and you tell him all your points and all your things. No, it's supposed to be a two-way conversation. Sit before him. The Holy Spirit is training me And I'm trying to get in the habit of doing this every day. It's not a ritual to just stop, be still, and sit before the Lord. Stop the praying, stop the talking. Acknowledge Him, He's with me, and just listen to Him. The greatest therapy from trauma would be to go shut up in a comfortable room by yourself with some little chicken broth and water and no telephones, and to wait before the Lord. I have found, because I have many trials, I have found it rejuvenates me and heals the trauma that I experience mostly every day of my life. And it's very healing. So they sit before the Lord and they fast. So you find the house of God. It doesn't have to be a building, where the heart of God is. And you weep. And you sit before Him. You don't do all the talking. Listen to Him. You say, but I can't hear Him. Keep practicing. Sooner or later, He's going to see. He knows you're ready to pop up and say something. Well, He's going to wait and see if you really are listening. And fast. And there's something else you do.
Fasted that day till evening.
Till evening.
Offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord.
And then they gave an offering. I did this before Hurricane Irma because I was aware in the spirit that old devil was aimed at this place. God had let him make it very clear to me. And I knew I had one chance, my arsenal. Bethel, house of God. Okay, we go there. Then we weep. Then we wait before the Lord. We sit before Him quietly without asking and babbling and all. And then we fast and then we give an offering. And always out comes my checkbook somewhere for the Word of God. Try it. You've got the same arsenal that I have. It'll work for you.
27. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. For the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was there in those days.
Thank goodness the Ark of the Covenant was there when they went to Bethel. That's that box thing, you know, when God's presence was in the Ark.
28. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it.
You had to have a real priest to intercede for you. When you go to Bethel, make sure that the man or woman is a priest of God with the anointing of God and the word of God and the fire of God upon them and a heart of God that will love you and welcome you. Phinehas, high priest, Aaron's grandson, was there.
In those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up. For tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand.
Go up, this time you have the victory. See, they did it right.
29. And Israel set liars in wait round about Gibeah. Verse 30. And the
Now, what I'm going to do for time's sake, I'm going to tell you quickly because they're going to repeat it over and over and over from here to 35. Okay, so God gives Israel a new strategy. When you keep doing something the same way and everything keeps going wrong, they call that insanity. Try something else, okay? And so a new strategy. So they're going to take those 10,000 cooks that they had. They didn't put them in the army, remember that? But they were warriors, but they had to do the cooking. There are 10,000 of those. They're called liars in wait. A liar in wait in the military would mean they're hidden soldiers, that Benjamin won't see them. Benjamin will only see what's left of the Israelite army. And so Benjamin will be cocky and think he's got it. But the new strategy is how liars in wait, 10,000 men. And the strategy is that the current soldiers in Israel, the ones Benjamin see, are going to pretend to be afraid when Benjamin comes, and they're going to run down the highway, and Benjamin's going to run after them, and the liars in wait, the undercover army, is going to go into Gibeah and take the city. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the liars in wait in the body of Christ, that's the elect, the hidden one, Zephaniah. That would be the prayer warriors. Hallelujah. While it looks to the world like the body of Christ is defeated, that there's nobody in the land, in the politics or anything, saying, let us repent, Jesus Lord, Bible book, and and it looks like the body of Christ and the church of Christ is weak, and you don't see any victory and full of sin, there are some liars in wait, and we are the prayer warriors. And if you learn how to pray next to the Word of God, it's the greatest thing you can do, because correct praying moves the hand of God. And so we liars in wait, God's elect, we pray undercover, and we watch the news, and we see things happen. We prayed 8 years, and the bad guy went out, the good guy came in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And every Wednesday night we meet here and we pray. Praying is not saying pretty words. Praying is wild and fire, and the Holy Spirit shuttle going up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Prayer is the Holy Spirit praying through you. You don't live, you're dead. It's not you. You're dead. You're a new creation. You're not shy anymore. The Holy Spirit takes over. He lives in you. No, you're not the old man. You're brand new. You're not me anymore. Don't be me anymore. That's a dead corpse person there. And so now, you learn how to pray with a fire. That's a new you. And this is the body of Christ. And so what happens there in verse 35? This time, because the liars in wait, Israel wins, and they kill 25,100 of the Benjamin soldiers. Good Lord, we only got a few Benjamin men left. How in the world is the tribe of Benjamin going to survive with so few men? It takes men to help women to have babies. So we're going to talk about that next week. God bless you. I hope you were blessed. Okay, interesting, isn't it? Well, at this time, I usually say it's time for mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand God's Word. And at this time, I always introduce you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, anointed man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. And he asks the questions and I answer them, and then he has Scott's stuff. Well, Scott is right here, but Scott overworked during the hurricane, and the enemy has attacked his throat. So what I'm going to do right now, right here on the air, I'm going to pray for Scott Merson's throat. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I praise you that you are Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. I thank you, Father, that you sent your word and healed, and that with Jesus' stripes we are healed. And I ask according to your word in Malachi 4, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. The wings, the laser beams of the healing current of Jesus Christ flowing into Scott's throat right there on that side, right there, the side of the throat, that the cooling Holy Ruach move there, the laser beams going in there, pouring in the oil and wine and healing the wound and removing the blockage. Let Scott swallow. Scott, it is breaking up. I feel it in my spirit. Swallow, be able to swallow, and let all the soreness, Jesus bore your pains, let all of the soreness be gone and all of the rawness be gone, and you recover, your voice recover in the name and the power of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you, Scott Merson. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for hearing me. I know you hear me always. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. And I just realized I have not even prayed the salvation prayer, so let me do that first. There might be someone of you who's not saved, so let's go do that first now. If you're not saved, I want you to be saved, and so does God. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Pray this prayer after me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Use me. To enlarge your territory. I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Now, I hope you prayed that prayer, and if you meant it, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. My telephone works now in a few minutes, and feel free to call and leave a message on my voicemail, and I will pray with you. Now, again, for those of you who are sick, I prayed for Scott there specifically. Scott is a wonderful twin friend here and works with us in the ministry, and we want him to be rested and well, and he will be in a few minutes. Okay, but let me pray for the rest of you. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, wherever there is pain, anywhere, under the sound of my voice, we just say to the pain, be gone. Jesus bore your pains and carried your sicknesses. Wherever there is a wound, we ask the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, will go in there and pour in the oil and wine. Anything that is missing, put a new part there. Anything that is broken, mended. Anything that's out of place, put it back in place. Heal all diseases, sicknesses, bring divine order in heads and limbs and backbone, spine. Let spines be healed, fibromyalgia be gone, stomachs, kidneys, digestive systems, bowels, feet and toes. Let toes be perfectly aligned in Jesus' mighty name, the spine aligned in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, let the healing virtue, let fatigue be gone. Let there be a refreshing touch of Holy Spirit, rejuvenating youth and strength, vitality come back to you in the name and the power of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing me. I know you hear me always. And we give you glory that with Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Amen. Amen. When you call, you might like to tell me that also. Now for my love line of the week. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Now, for the last 2 weeks, and now this week, I've suggested that it's time for you to memorize Scripture. You don't have time to grab your Bible when the devil hits you. And the Word of God is how you get through life. Nothing else is going to do it. You try everything else. You call this person on the phone. You read this book. And all the while, you got your weapon. So the first one was Genesis 3:15. God told the serpent that her seed shall bruise your head. The serpent is the devil. Her seed would be Jesus from Mary. And then last week was Isaiah 7:14. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, Emmanuel, which God's with us. That would be Mary and Jesus. Today's is Isaiah 53:5. Excuse me. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You are healed. God bless you. Don't forget, each Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I meet here to pray for you, whatever ails you, words of knowledge, etc. Tell others of the radio program. You can get us WMIEFM.com on demand. Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you, and I love you. And from Sherry and from my twin friend Scott, we say, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE. Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
And weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
you are at the cross, there is room. Tell your burdened heart, your burdened heart, at the cross, there is room. Tell it in the Savior's ear.
It doesn't matter.
Listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, Titusville, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, Vieira, FM
102.3. Changes or turns. Unfailing justice, unfading grace, whose promises remain. Yes, your promises remain. Now unto the King who reigns over all and never changes or turns.